I bring you greetings from Monument of Love Baptist Church, the church that loves to love with a mind for ministry and missions. Ministry translates serving. Missions translates going. We're located at 2639 Lamar Avenue in the Bethel Grove community. If it isn't love, we don't want to discuss it. It's not worth discussing if it isn't love. Certainly, most people, when they think of Memphis, Memphis is best known for two kings. The alleged king of rock and roll, Elvis Presley, and Dr. Martin Luther King, whom Dr. Dockery alluded to. But at 2639 Lamar, Monument of Love, we're trying to be known and endeavoring to be known for the King of Kings, the one we lift, the one we exalt. He said in his word, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men, not some men, but all men unto me. Now, when you hear the word all, no need peeping around behind the word all. You're looking at it. When you hear the word all, no need looking behind the word all because you already see it. Praise the Lord. So certainly we are glad to be here, and I know you have classes, and I know you're just anxious to get to your classes, and certainly I don't want to be the cause of your flunking your class, so we're going to try to get you out of here on time. Dr. Dockery, if I were to be the one to have the opportunity to define or express my feelings about him. If David was a man after God's own heart, Dr. Dockery, as president of Union University, he's a man after God's own heart. He is a first-class president. And Union University, you are a first-class school. I'm glad to be on the team up here. I'm glad to be on the board of reference. Today we ask you to turn with us to St. John, the third chapter, as we look into the Word of God, John, the third chapter, verses 1 through 10. John 3, verses 1 through 10 reads as follows. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? I'm going to stop reading right there. I will allude to some of the other verses in this passage of Scripture as we proceed, but I believe that lays the foundation for what I would like us to focus on today. I want to talk today about an educated man who still had a lot to learn. An educated man who still had a lot to learn. Now, to kind of stimulate your appetite, to kind of provoke some thought on your part, I need to make some statements, I want to preface the message pertaining to the scripture with some statements that we need to be made aware of, reminded of. One old preacher told me, he said, son, the most difficult thing about preaching is that you're preaching to people who are very enlightened already, they think, and you're preaching to people, a lot of them are already saved. He said, but you're in the reminding business. So I want to remind us of some things today before we get into the scriptural aspect. We need to know today, when we talk of an educated man who still had a lot to learn, we need to know that every sinner, and we do know that Jesus died for sin. He paid a sin debt that he didn't owe because we had a sin debt that we couldn't pay. Every sinner must be punished or pardoned. When God looks at a man, he sees either one of two men. He either sees a lost sinner or he sees a saved person. When God looks at a man, he only sees one of two persons. You're either saved or you're not saved in God's view. And I'm a staunch advocate of the fact what a man thinks of God is the most important thing about him. And it will determine the whole course of his life. I said what a man thinks of God is the most important thing about him. And it will determine the whole course of his life. And let me just say, I love acrostics. G-O-D. Good, orderly, direction. If you want good, orderly direction, it only comes from God. But what a man thinks of God is the most important thing about him. I didn't say what he thinks of his wife. I didn't say what he thinks of his mother. I didn't say what a man thinks of his father, even what he thinks of his children. Guess what? It's not even important so much what he thinks of himself, because it'll all either start with God or end without God. There are five things that every man needs to know. Five things every man needs to know. Life is short. Life is short. If God were to bless us to live 500 years, we'd still think we died too soon. If he were to bless us, our mother, our spouse, our children, to live 400 years, we'd still think they died too soon. Second thing every man needs to know, death is certain. Life is short, death is certain. Job tells us life is short. Job said, man born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. So we need to know life is short. Second thing we need to know, death is certain. Hebrews 9:27, as it is appointed unto men once to die, then after this, the judgment. That's the second thing every man needs to know. Third thing every man needs to know, there is a judgment to face. Life is short, death is certain. There is a judgment to face. Fourth thing every man needs to know, there is a literal, burning, hot, everlasting hell. Thank you for the it is. Hell is the devil's best kept secret. You don't hear a lot back in the day when I was coming up. I'm 69 years old last Thursday. The Lord blessed me to see my 69th physical birth. And those old preachers back then preached hell, fire, and brimstone. Sometimes when you left the church, you weren't on fire, but you reached back there to see if there was some fire back there. Because when they got through telling you about hell and that place where you don't want to go, life is short, death is certain, there's a judgment to face, there's a literal hot, burning, everlasting hell to miss. And guess what the last one is? We always save the best for the last. Praise God, there is a heaven to gain. That's five things every man needs to know. We look at the story of Nicodemus. And I'm sure most of you are familiar with the story of Nicodemus. There's a lot of conjecture as to why Nicodemus chose to come to Jesus by night. But let me just say to you, relative to coming to Jesus, anytime we have the presence of mind to come to Jesus and realize our need for Jesus, anytime is the right time. So Nicodemus, the scripture says he was a Pharisee, and the Pharisees and Jesus were always confronting one another, and they were always challenging Jesus. Why did your disciples do this? Why did your disciples do this? And that the Pharisees had all kinds of rigid, inflexible rules and laws, and they took the Ten Commandments and just stretched them and tried to enforce them to the nth degree. So Nicodemus was a teacher of the Jews. He was on the high council of the Jews. Nicodemus was an educated man. He was teaching and he was educated. But Jesus, when he went to Jesus that night, you see there where he told him, he said, we know that thou art a man sent from God, for no man can do these miracles except thou doest them, except God be with him. He was trying like we do sometimes. He was trying to get in Jesus, good gracious. But Jesus cut through the garbage, cut through the fat. In so many words, without saying, he told Nicodemus, I don't need your platitudes. I don't need your praise. You need to be born again. Jesus impressed the necessity of the new birth in verse 3 upon Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus was a moral, religious man, one of the chief teachers. Yet he didn't understand when Jesus told him he must be born again. He asked him, how can I go back into my mother's womb and be born a second time? And guess what? Not only did Nicodemus not understand, there are hundreds of seminary students, even graduates, who are in the same situation as Nicodemus. They just can't grasp the spiritual truths. And we need to know that spiritual truths cannot be grasped by the carnal man or the sinful man. Amen? Nicodemus came by night. He came by night. There were those who said he came at night because he didn't want him to know that being a teacher as he was, didn't want him to know that he wanted Jesus to teach him. But really, Nicodemus came so that Jesus could teach him. Nicodemus knew that there was a void in his life. He knew that there were some things he needed to know. But when he came to Jesus by night, I see that as a picture of the unsaved man. That's a picture of the unsaved man, because the unsaved man is in the dark spiritually. And we need to know today, being religious and being moral doesn't fit a man for heaven. You must be born again. You must be born from above. We have a birthday song we sing at Monument of Love. Whomever's born in the month of February, as I am, the last Sunday, this Sunday coming up, Lord willing, I'll have all the February people, birthday people, to stand, and then I'll recognize them, and I'll have them sit down, and I'll have everybody else stand up, and we have a birthday song we sing. Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you, happy birthday to you. And then there's a second verse that I think is very poignant. Happy birthday to you. Only one will not do. Take Christ as your Savior, and then you'll have two. How many of us in here have had two birthdays? Amen. Because guess what? If you're only born once, you will die twice. Thank you. You caught it. If you're only born once, you're going to die twice. You're going to die physically, and you're going to die spiritually. But if you're born twice, you will only die once. And I know all of you all are smarter. You wouldn't be at a Union University. Smart people choose to die once and not twice. Amen. So if you're in the Nicodemus category today, that can be remedied. I promise you it can. Amen. So we look at Nicodemus, and when we think of Nicodemus like today, there are many people who confuse the spiritual and physical. We cannot produce a spiritual birth by physical means. It won't happen. It's like trying to put a square peg in a round hole. All of us as men, as the race man needs to know that all of us are born wrong. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. See, the first birth, our physical birth of our mother, makes us the children of Adam. Adam took us out, but thank God Jesus brought us in. Adam took us down, but praise God, Jesus lifted us up. And I want to say to you, no amount of education, no amount of religious activity will change our old nature. We must receive a new nature. It's not what we know. It doesn't matter how much education we have. It's not so much what we do. It's what we believe. There's no way we can have that new nature unless we accept Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, no man. He didn't talk about race. He didn't talk about ethnicity. He didn't talk about education. He didn't talk about pedigree. He said, no man cometh unto the Father except by me. I am the way. I am the way means without me, he's saying, there's no going. I am the truth. He's saying, without me, there's no knowing. I am the life. He's saying, without me, there's no living. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I want to say to you today, and I don't want to burst anybody's bubble, but I stop by to tell you today that education without salvation is merely information. Education without salvation is merely information. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, that means you can see. You can look at that person's walk. You can listen to that person's talk. Behold all things. You remember what I told you about all? No need looking behind all. Behold, all things have become brand new. Not just some things, but all things have become brand new. Say this with me. When Christ comes in, come on, say it like you mean it. When Christ comes in, new life begins. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Listen, in that word life, right smack dab in the middle of the word life is another word. Now, one of you A-plus students, tell me what it is. If, you got it. In the middle of the word life is another word, if. When Jesus died on the cross, he raised that if right up out of the word life. Now when you raise if out of the word life, what two letters do you have left? Come on, A plus students. I'm sorry? What do you think it means? Life eternal. Dr. Dockery got it. I'm not surprised. Amen. Give the president a hand. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is good all the time. I told you, and all the time God is good. Of course, he's the president. They said, well, he's supposed to be smart. You are too. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, in closing, Nicodemus went to Jesus in the dark. But Nicodemus is not mentioned a whole lot. He's only mentioned about three times. But Nicodemus went to Jesus in the dark. But it's evident he came out of the dark and finally became a born-again Christian. Oh, yes, he did. Because here in John 3, we see him, he was in the darkness of confusion. In chapter 3, he was in the darkness of confusion. He couldn't understand this spiritual, physical thing. And then when we read John 7, verses 45 through 53, we see he moved from the darkness of confusion to the dawn of conviction. He stood up for Jesus at the hearing when they brought him before the Sanhedrin Council, of which he was a part of, and he demanded that they give Jesus a fair hearing. Well, he was outvoted. He was overruled. But he still took a stand for Jesus. And then in John 19, 38 through 42, we see him move from darkness of confusion, dawn of conviction. In John 19, 38, 42, we see him in the daylight of confession, openly identifying himself with Jesus. That was when he went along with Joseph of Arimathea. And they took Jesus' body off the cross that Friday when he died. And he brought spices, and he was with Joseph of Arimathea. He helped carry Jesus to a borrowed tomb. So he identified himself with Jesus. In other words, Nicodemus moved from the thermometer status to the thermostat status. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might do that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. When I think about being conformed, I think about a thermometer. When I think about being transformed, I think about a thermostat. A thermometer just hangs on the wall and reflects the environment. But a thermostat affects the environment. If it's too cool, that thermostat can heat things up. If it's too hot, that thermostat can cool things down. So Nicodemus, after his meeting with Jesus that night, He was transformed from a thermometer just reflecting the environment to a thermostat. See, the difference in the thermometer and the thermostat is the thermostat has a control device. A thermostat has a control device. Just walk up to the wall and move it over or move it up, and you control the temperature in the environment. Praise the Lord. I wonder how many thermostats do we have in here today? I thank God for Dr. Dockery. He's a thermostat in the true sense because he's affecting and not just reflecting. So Nicodemus no longer simply just had an education in the physical sense. Now, after he accepted what Jesus told him, he must be born again, and he was born again. Nicodemus not only has a BA in the physical sense, no doubt he had a Bachelor of Arts. He probably had a Master of Arts, maybe a Master of Science, etc. But now he had a BA degree with eternal significance. He had a BA degree now with eternal significance. It doesn't mean Bachelor of Arts. It means born again. Now let me just say, it's good to have a Bachelor of Arts. Some of you are working on a Bachelor of Arts. It's good to have one. But guess what? You need that BA, that born again degree. And when you get that BA, don't stop there. Go on to work on that BS. Get your BS in the spiritual realm. That means be sure. It doesn't mean Bachelor of Science. It means be sure. And when you get your BA and your BS, you need to get the MA. It doesn't mean Master of Arts. It means Master's Assurance. And when you get the MA, get the MS. It doesn't mean Master of Science. It means more service. And when you get that one, don't stop there. Go on and get you a doctorate, get you a PhD. It doesn't mean Doctor of Philosophy. It means pleasing him daily. And one day, you'll get that terminal degree. You'll get that ultimate degree. It says WD, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you rule over many. Enter the joy of thy Lord. We can rejoice today that God will accept us just as we are. He's still in the saving business. He's saying, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We can rejoice today that God will accept us just as we are. But guess what? He loves us so much that he gave his only begotten son to die for us on the cross. In the same passage of scripture, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son that whosoever should believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves us so much, he will accept us just as we are. But he loves us too much to leave us as we are. He loves us too much to leave us as we are. We need to remember today, when Christ comes in, new life began. We need to remember, it's not about education. It's not about information. It's about salvation. Salvation, God willed it. Jesus purchased it. The Holy Spirit delivered it. Pray with us. God, our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, how we thank you for your gospel. How we thank you, dear God, for your only Son who provides eternal life. And Lord, we just ask right now that we would realize, dear God, that you are the very God of the universe. And Lord, in you we live, in you we move, in you we have our being. Lord, we just pray, dear God, that we would, as we study your word, dear God, that we'd raise the concepts and precepts and principles up off the pages and inculcate them in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to proclaim your word. The gospel is conveyed. It's designed to convince. It's designed to convict and ultimately convert. Lord, if there are any Nicodemuses in here today, if there are those of us, we know people who are in the Nicodemus category. They're confused, dear God. Help us to be witnesses for you, dear God. We love you today, and we thank you in a special way. We ask, dear God, as we go down from this place, that we would, dear God, look upward, move forward, and reach outward in the name of Jesus. Amen.